And thanks to Dot and Richard for sitting in today at the organ and providing the music. Just a short reading before we come to the message of God's word. I'm going to read from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. And let us now hear again the word of God. Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. I wonder, are you one of those people who enjoys mysteries? Those books or TV shows, whodunits we call them, where a murder is usually committed and you have to work through the various phases before eventually you find out who done it. The mystery is over. Or Christmas is not far away, and maybe at Christmas you get a surprise present and the person says to you, it's a mystery, it's all wrapped up and you can't guess what it is, and they say, this is a mystery. You're not allowed to open it until Christmas Day. And it kind of burns in you, what have they bought me and what's in the box? Or someone maybe calls to collect you and you say to them, where are we going? And they say to you, it's a mystery, and they take you out for the day. At the end of 1 Timothy chapter 3, the gospel, the Christian gospel, is described as being a mystery, which is strange because it's kind of out there. It's in a book. You can read it. It's in the Bible. So how can we describe it as a mystery? And Paul says the mystery is the mystery of godliness. And then he gives six short statements to explain what exactly this mystery is. And I want to take these statements that come up on the screen one by one. And quickly this morning, I'm not going to labor what I'm going to say today. Here's the mystery of godliness. Firstly, he appeared in a body. He appeared in a body. And this is taking us to Bethlehem. Christmas is on the horizon. There's lots of trees have been appearing across the country. And people love Christmas. But they love it very often for all the wrong reasons. The thing about Christmas is, it's about God appearing in a body. God is spirit, remember. God has no body. But God the Son took on a body in Mary's womb. And she, being a virgin, was pure. So from her came the purest of the pure. And he appeared in flesh and bones and hair and blood and tears and toenails. It's as basic as that. His body was carried by his mother in her womb. He slept in a boat. He rode on a donkey. He was eventually nailed to a cross. But all the time, he was truly God. He appeared in a body. And there's a mystery in this. How do we explain this? Coming from such heights into such depths. John Calvin says he came from spiritual glory into the stinking filth of our flesh, showing us how God had to plumb such depths in order that we could rise to such heights with him. He appeared in a body. Secondly, he was vindicated by the Spirit. The word vindicated is not a word we use very often. But supposing girls and boys, there's money got stolen in school and you got the blame for it. You'd feel really hard done by if the teacher was blaming you for stealing the money and it wasn't you at all. You would want vindicated. That's what it means. You want your name to be cleared. You want everybody to know it wasn't you. Well, when Jesus was nailed to a cross and died, it looked like he was guilty. A thief on the left and another thief on the right. Jesus on the middle cross, just another thief, right? But he needed vindicated because he had committed no sin in his whole life. He was sinless. And so the Spirit of God entered into his body and brought him back to life again. God saying that he was innocent of any crime. His life had been a sinless life, and God took all the blame from him. So that you and I, not just boys and girls, but adults, could have all the guilt taken away from us. And his goodness and his holiness and godliness and righteousness could be ours. He took our guilt, our blame, so we could go free. He was vindicated when the Spirit raised him from the dead. Thirdly, he was seen by angels, Paul says. Angels were there at the time he was raised from the dead. There were angels who rolled away the stone. There were an angel inside the cave looking at the empty bed. When the women went to the tomb where Jesus had been laid, it was the angels who said Christ was alive. In the words of Mary Magdalene, I have seen the Lord. He was seen by angels when he rose from the dead. The Christian gospel is a message not of going to church and reading your Bible and saying your prayers and giving your money and being a nice person. That's all fine as far as it goes. But Christianity is about the raising of the dead. And your soul and my soul being raised from the dead through the power of Christ coming into us in the power of the Spirit. And that's why, fourthly, he was preached among the nations. Preached among the nations. This wasn't to be kept in Jerusalem. This was to go viral, as we say nowadays, or go global. I googled how many countries there are in the world today. There are 195. I didn't know there was many. 195. Don't think there were that many in Bible times. But the news of what Christ had done went to Jew and to Greek, to British and to Irish, to Germans and to Egyptians, to Ethiopians and Chinese and Americans and Australians. The nations of the world. And today the Church of Christ is found in every nation of the world. As the followers of Jesus find that they couldn't keep to themselves the good news of what Jesus, what God had done in Jesus, that sin was paid for, that a new start was an offer, forgiveness, a new beginning, a new world order, and a new day would dawn in the soul. And no wonder they preached this far and wide among the nations. And we too today should always be interested in missionary work and praying and giving and even going ourselves to take the mystery of God's Son to the world. Fifthly, he was believed on in the world. Because this message might just have gone out, but it demands a response. Wonder, girls and boys, young people, does your teacher ever say to you in school, you know, when I tell you something, it goes in one ear and out the other? Yes. I know that happens. That happened when I was at school. Or your mommy says maybe it goes in one ear and out the other. You know what that's like. You hear it, but you don't really hear it. Especially if they're telling you to switch off your device and come for your tea, you think, just ignore that. It's going in one ear and out the other. And sometimes it's the same when we hear the message of Jesus Christ. In one ear and out the other. But there are others, when they hear it, believe it. Drink it in. They throw their arms around it and they say, from now on, I'm going to live a new life. I will serve the Lord. It's a bit like food, you know. Somebody sets a meal in front of you and they say to you, do you think this meal will do you any good? And you say, boy, was that going to do me any good? Yes, it will. It smells so good. It looks so good. But unless you actually eat it, it'll do you no good whatsoever. And it's the same with Christ. You can hear the message of Christ, the word of Christ. You can understand the mystery of godliness. But until you eat and drink the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, taking him inside you. If he's not your life, then he'll do you no good. And in every day and in every age, God has his people who believe the gospel. There's never been a time in the world's history when there weren't people who believed the gospel. But I wonder, are you one of the ones who believes it in our day and age, in our generation? If not, believe him today. Commit to him today. And come to understand this mystery of Jesus Christ appearing in a body, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, preached to the nations, believed on in the world, and lastly, taken up in glory. Sometimes people ask the question, if Jesus is raised from the dead, where is he now? And the answer is, he was taken up in glory and is today seated at God's right hand. Sometimes people say silly things. They say, do you know, because I can't see God. Where is God? I can't see him. So we mustn't be there, right? Well, can you see America from here? Can you see America from here? No. So it doesn't exist, right? Does it not exist just because you can't see it? Of course it exists. It's there. We know it's there. Some of us will say we've been there. But many people say, oh, just because I can't see God, he doesn't exist. What a silly thing to say. Because he was taken up in glory, but he's coming back again. He came from God. He went back to God, the author of life who beat death and who beat the devil and who paid for sin. He's returning. And when he comes back, it's a bit like an athlete. You know when an athlete goes up and gets their gold medal? And they stand on the podium and the gold medal is put upon them in the sports stadium. They've come first. They've won. And then what do? They go and run around the track again to show off their medal and everybody's clapping and cheering them. It's like a victory lap. And Jesus Christ is coming to do a victory lap. And his people in the crowds will cheer him and will be glad to see him. And the great cloud of witnesses will be there to see it. Others will be lost. That's the warning of Scripture, that if we haven't received Christ as our Lord and Savior, we'll be lost on the day when he comes. But for those who have invited him to be their Savior, who have believed him, they're saved forevermore. So let me end where I started. Mystery stories, when you hear who done it, it's really satisfying. You've worked it out. Or it's been revealed to you along the way. It was him who did it. I thought that all the time. Or maybe the mystery present gets open and it's just what you needed or just what you wanted. And it's so satisfying that somebody thought so much about you. And you say, thank you so much. Or the destination, they've taken you on that mystery trip in the car. And when you've got there, you've just enjoyed your day out so much. Well, Jesus Christ, if I could put it like this, is God's whodunit. God did it in him. And God is doing it in him. But is God doing it in you today, in your life and in your heart? Because our God is involved in people's lives. To know him is life-changing. To know him, to know Christ is to know God. To have Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the privilege of everyone who believes. So I wonder today, do you know this mystery? Is this mystery in your life? The mystery of godliness that has changed your life and made you follow God and be godly. What a privilege, but there's a warning as well that if we don't know these things, we're still in the dark and we need to figure out this mystery or else we will be lost. Let's close in prayer. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this description in a few sentences.